This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A good morning to everyone, and we start off asking, it's going good, right? It's going good! And this is a no-brainer for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It is going good for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, they had lost 8 of 10 before they decided to get their passports and go north. Head north, young man, like the McKenzie brothers, right? They went up there to the great white north.
You hoser.
Yes. And they didn't drink all the beer and then put it out in a crazy way. But what they were, got a 6-4 of Elsinore, 2-4 Elsinore. Then it kept, no, enough of those. Hey, hoser. Then they all came out and played hockey.
Yeah.
They played that song. No, what they
I
did.
I just
though,
hear Colby Armstrong every time I hear.
But anyhow, they lost 8 of 10. They went up north and they got their heads together. That's what they did pretty much. They went up north, they got their heads together. They've won 3 in a row. And it wasn't just that they won 3 in a row. They weren't far off from shutting all those 3 teams out.
Yeah.
Jari makes 30 saves last night. 6-0 at Montreal, 2-0 Toronto, 3-1 at Winnipeg, in a game in which they were thoroughly outplayed for 12 to 15 minutes right out of the chute last night, and it was nice to see them kind of get it back together. We are seeing a couple things, I think, Chris. One, 161 minutes of shutouts from Jari, which is spectacular to start that road trip. And then they're playing at a fast pace, but not a frenetic pace. A pace in which is manageable, but is faster than we had seen just a little while ago.
Yeah, and like I said the other day, when what's today? Tuesday. I can't even keep track of the days anymore. Yesterday in the five, when we talked about their win up in Toronto, they're not going out of their way to try and generate offense. They're letting the game come to them. Great example, I think, is last night. They have that power play late in the second period, or a little more than halfway through the second period. Second power play unit comes out. They can't get anything, but they keep going, and they keep churning. And Evan Rodriguez comes into the zone, makes a ridiculous pass from behind the net to Jason Zucker to set up his goal. And that's just a great example. And it's been these guys like Rodriguez, like Danton Heinen, who scored again last night. Zucker, who finally got one after 10 games without one last night and looked really good early in the year. The guys who are not your Crosbys and Malkins and Letangs, or even Carters or Gensels, although Gensel scored an empty netter, those are the guys that are driving that are doing the right things, playing the right way, as Mike Sullivan would like to say. And it's good to see, because that's what they're going to need, whether Crosby and Malkin are healthy or not. That's the way they need to win games now. Don't push. Don't press. Let the game come to you, and good things will happen.
Absolutely, right? And they are the Swiss Army knife kind of guys is who they need.
Uh-huh.
And the guys that can do a lot of different things, the guys that can play teams, and the guys that can get out there and play a bunch of different roles. You're always led by your superstars, but it trails real quickly by those guys that are sort of role players and secondary guys.
You know, over the weekend I saw that Tanev scored his 7th goal for Seattle, and the Kraken are terrible to start the year, which you would expect from an expansion team. But I saw he scored his 7th, and I wondered aloud on Twitter, you know, maybe they should have done a little bit more to try and keep him around. But then you see the Heinens and the Rodriguezes of the world, and the setup by Simone on the Heinen goal. You see those guys are really, they're the reasons the engine is churning right now. And yes, like we started the discussion with, Tristan Jarry is affording them time when they don't play well for the first 20 minutes last night to get their legs under them.
It's going good, or is it going good? It's going good. I don't know if it's going good here. It might not be going good for Cam Hayward when the FedEx stuff comes in or the U.S. certified mail. Do they still deliver mail? I don't know. It takes a little longer now. But he talks about Mr. Herbert in the incident the other day.
Man, to be honest, I was running after the ball and I caught my hand under. And so when I was trying to get up, I couldn't get up and I fell back on him. I know it looks terrible. There was nothing malicious behind it. I don't think I was trying to punch him, but I know it looks more worse than it is in slow motion. But I'm sorry if I did anything to offend anybody. I wish I had said more to Justin after, but there was nothing behind it.
Is it going to be going good or bad for him when that package comes? I sense that he'll get a nominal fine, not
yes.
a big, heavy, heavy-handed. There was a big melee sort of fine, but I don't think he'll get off scot-free either.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the word I was thinking, actually, nominal. I mean, because he did throw a little jab into Herbert's chest there. Whether he admits that it's a punch or not, or you think it's a punch or not, that's what it was. So it was enough to get flagged on the field, and I imagine we'll get some sort of fine from the NFL. But like you said, not one that's big enough for Cam Hayward to notice.
It's high time to complain about officiating, and this might be one where I think they may have got it all right. There's a lot of times where, you know what bothers me more than anything in officiating, in NFL officiating, is when they don't call a foul on the field,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then a player is fined later in the week. And
it's admitting a mistake. It's admitting a miss.
Right, a big miss. A miss to the point where a guy is lighter in the wallet.
Mm-hmm.
How do the officials then not understand some sort of punishment? If you missed it, if it's that egregious on the field, and then a guy gets
right.
fined. So in this case, they saw and they flagged it. Thus, the secondary move would be to fine him. And I'm okay with all of it if he gets a little bit of a fine.
You know what I've always been a proponent of, though? And I think it can make sense at times, the scenario you're talking about, where I wish they would do it more often. I wish they would wait and see more often. I understand in the heat of the moment in a game, you got to make a call. I do. I get it. But wait and see. If you're not sure if that guy did something, don't flag it. And if they go back and review it the next day or that night and the league sees it and says, no, that was definitely, for example, like they didn't flag the hit on Najee Harris, right? Should have been flagged in the moment. It was a shot to the head. But if they go back and look at that now and decide to fine that guy, by all means, I'm okay with that. And I don't just say that because it was a Steeler that got hit in the head and arguably their best player on offense, but because that's the way it should be.
Now,
if
was
you
that
miss
play
it,
flagged when it happened?
No, it
exactly.
wasn't.
Exactly. So that outlines my scenario.
Right.
If they go back and then they fine somebody.
I'm all good with fining them.
Then the official should be punished for missing something that
that's
egregious
yeah.
that then would lead to a fine.
Yes, I'm
How
with
do
you,
you
on that.
Because then it gets to the question that how do you miss that?
Right.
If it rises to the level that it's fineable, how do you miss it in real-time action?
Right.
You see what I'm
saying? I get what you're saying, but I'm also okay with officials in some instances saying, you know what, I didn't see it. I'm not going to throw a flag on something I didn't see for sure. And then later the league comes back and says, oh, no, that happened. You missed it. There's a fine.
And then, again, my point is, how do you miss something that is such a big deal that it leads to a fine? But in the Cam Hayward stuff, I think that they're probably going to get it all right. And I don't want to say he's lucky to skate by without being ejected, but it was right on that border.
Yeah,
it was. It really was. If he was ejected, you wouldn't have heard me squawk about he didn't get a fair shake. All right, it's going good, right? And now this one, a little bit sarcastic. When you try to weaponize social media or regular media, Devin Bush Sr., for your own cause to take up for one of your kin, it doesn't often work well for you. Now, Emily Mayfield, I believe, is finding this out. The wife of Baker Mayfield. Not only do they live at the stadium,
right.
she feels the need now to use her internet at the stadium.
Which, I'm sorry, I know I'm supposed to hate the Browns and hate Baker Mayfield. I like those
commercials.
I'm sorry.
It's a great commercial. But she's using her internet at her apartment at the stadium to tell everybody to back off her hubby here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Emily Mayfield writes on her Instagram, which she's now erased, "No one better say anything bad about at Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I have seen toughness like that in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take the hint and get tougher." And it was quickly erased.
And it's a repost from some account, Matt Carbs 6. But, you can repost stuff on Instagram very easily. And once you repost it to your account, you take ownership of it.
Yes. And she added him. She made it personal. But yeah, you're right about that. She did repost it. So that being said, this isn't going to turn out well. When you have your wife taking up for you, just as you had your dad taking up for you here in Pittsburgh, all you end up doing is put yourself in the line of fire for ridicule.
Can I make a suggestion? The next time Emily Mayfield wants to repost something like this, take out that last sentence. If you want, because Baker got booed in Cleveland on Sunday, right?
Just make it independent. Just leave it to you.
No one better say anything bad about Baker after this game. I don't think I've seen toughness like this in a while. Full stop. You don't need to add or repost. Scratch it out on the repost. We all know how to use the markup feature on our photos app in the phone. Maybe the rest of our team should take the hint and get tougher. No. That team held Tim Boyle. I know it's Tim Boyle to what, like 70 yards passing? You don't question anybody else's on that team's toughness, okay? We all know Baker is tough. We get it. We've seen what he's had to play with.
Right.
We also see that he hasn't been very good while he's been playing with it.
Oh, it's going so bad in Cleveland, and I love it. No matter what ills the Pittsburgh Steelers go through, it is just seems like that the Cleveland Browns, if the Steelers get a cold, Cleveland gets the flu.
Is that
it just always happens that way.
Are the Browns your peak Schadenfreude?
Yes.
Because like mine is the Flyers. Like
yes.
I love to see the Flyers. No. Anything happen to the Flyers.
For me it's the Browns.
It's the Browns.
It's the Browns.
Or like the Cardinals or the Cubs. I enjoy seeing them fall on their faces.
I enjoy all of that.
But no one more than the Flyers for me.
No one more than the Browns for me. Because here's why. The Browns fans talk, and it's the height of their talk, and it's the past two off seasons their talk, and they've won the off season the last 2 years. They finally now feel good about themselves, and it was all false. But it's always been great for me to see those. And the other part too is they've always kind of filled the stadium. They always think they're going to be
still
something.
Live and die with that team.
Yes,
I don't know how.
That makes it even better for me. Gosh, I hate them, and this even makes it better. All right, take it or flush it coming up next. An interesting concept for one local coach in a what to do, that's for sure. Our man Jeff Hathorn, top of the hour. Can't wait to talk to him. We love talking to Jeff to get our fix on everything. He's inside with all these teams, so we speak to him. All right, take it or flush it. Let's go.
And now it's time for Take It or Flush It. Presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family.
That's absolutely right, all of that. So take it or flush it. Saturday, 7:30, night game for this Pitt-Syracuse game, which is odd in one way, and it's finally to get a primetime game, and it doesn't mean a whole lot. Secondly, Carrier Dome for football. I told somebody the other day, I said, it's like going to a Costco to watch a football game.
Yes.
I've always disliked the Carrier Dome for football.
Freaking warehouse.
Yeah. Take it or flush it, though. Pat Narduzzi resting a lot of starters, including Kenny Pickett.
I take it. I'll be honest. Listening to some of what Matt had to say on the early morning show today about where the odds are for the Heisman, I'd love to believe that that Kenny Pickett could ball out for 500 yards and five touchdowns against Cuse and all of a sudden vault himself to the top of the Heisman watch list. But we all know it's not going to happen, unfortunately. It's not. It's going to be one of those SEC guys, most likely one of those SEC quarterbacks. And so I protect Kenny Pickett because I know how valuable the ACC championship game is. You need the ACC championship game to get to that New Year's Six Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And that's, to me, the best possible outcome for this season now with where they're at. So I would rest them.
I split it down the middle and I say, Kenny, look, you're 24 years old or whatever you are. You've been here forever. You're an adult at this point. I'm going to do this, the rare step. You're going to be an NFL draft pick. Do you want to play in this game or not? You consider
all.
You
say make. Yes, though.
He might not though. How many kids do you have said no to bowl games before?
Right, but that's usually at the end of the season where they're trying to mitigate any further harm or risk. Right.
This He's is still mitigating got two more games any left. Further harm or risk, though. Honestly, I would just leave it up to him. I don't think it's a no-brainer that he would say yes, I want to play. So I think he'd probably say yes, I want to play. I would leave it up to him. And then do what's right by Kenny Pickett because of everything he's done for the program.
I think that's worth a bigger conversation
later
in the show, definitely. Take it or flush it. Pirates released all their promotions yesterday for the upcoming season. Nobody does promotions like the Pirates at PNC Park.
Right.
One of them is Christmas in July. Since it is the holiday season now, Christmas in July, that concept, take it or flush it.
I'll actually take it for something like that for a promotion, but I'll flush it in terms of like a lifestyle that you have to like celebrate every year. But for a promotion at an entity like that, at a ball game, I'll take it.
Yeah, just on the whole, though, the general idea of Christmas in July, flush it. It's July. I don't need to be reminded that in 5 or 6 months it's going to be cold and snowy. I don't, and that it's going to be dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. Please don't remind me of any of that. I love the holidays, but they need to stay where they are in the holiday season. I don't need... Now, look, at the ballpark, like you said, it might make for some fun and interesting stuff, especially around a baseball game. You know, Christmas and baseball just don't usually go together. So I'll take it in that specific instance. But just on the whole, in general, not a fan of Christmas in July.
I'm going to tell you one thing that will be a one-hit wonder. At most, a two-hit wonder. That's coming up next here in our Twitter poll before the hour's out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, a very good morning to you. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to tell you something that's doomed to fail from the start. It'll be fun one time, maybe two times, but it ain't going to last. USFL, and they're going to have a Pittsburgh Maulers team, right? The Pittsburgh Maulers. But they're not going to be in Pittsburgh, and they're not really going to maul anyone. It's going to be a centrally located league that involves the Philadelphia Stars, the New Jersey Generals, the Michigan Panthers, the Birmingham Stallions, ain't no ham like the Birmingham, the Houston Gamblers, the New Orleans Breakers, and the Tampa Bay Bandits, but none of those people will be playing in Philadelphia or New Jersey or Michigan or New Orleans or Tampa or any of those locales. They'll all be centrally located, it's being speculated, a place like Birmingham, Alabama. Again, ain't no ham like the Birmingham. So that is going to happen, and it's spring football again. This will go the way like the AAF, like the XFL, no matter what high-dollar person is behind it, and in this case, Fox is going to be behind it, they'll put it on for a year, there'll be cast-offs from the NFL, and I don't mean to rain on your otherwise beautiful, sunshiny Tuesday here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. No matter what football league you start, even if you're not trying to, you're competing with the National Football League. And you're competing with the saturation of the National Football League. And you're competing even in the offseason with the National Football League because it has become a lifestyle. They have their own network. They have their own 24/7 news cycle. They have their own 365 news cycle. They have their own channel. You're just not going to do it. It'll be cool for a year. It'll frizzle.
Even if you focus on the down portion of the schedule for the NFL, which is really post-Super Bowl, all the way up through the draft, really, right? Which is when these spring football leagues try to play. You're fighting against what then becomes, as we've seen in the last couple of years, like you pointed out with the XFL and the AAF, you're fighting against the spring. And in the spring, people don't want to be inside watching football. In the fall and winter, it's rite, it's passage, it's ritual. For us, we sit inside and we watch football. We gather with friends and family and we watch football. In the spring, once the weather starts to turn nice, which it does even earlier down south, you want to get outside. You want to watch maybe a spring training baseball game, maybe college basketball as it rapidly accelerates towards the tournament. Stanley Cup playoffs.
There's a lot there.
Your kids start getting involved in outdoor sports again, maybe if they didn't do anything all winter. All this stuff starts to happen. Life starts to bloom, right? Spring anew. All that stuff, you don't want to sit inside and watch minor league football.
Right.
Now, they may have a little bit better of an opportunity to make a few bucks while they exist had they actually put these teams in the cities that they're naming them after. I don't get the idea of doing this and having them all played in one spot. I mean, I understand the cost effectiveness, right? The savings there. But I'm not going to identify with the Pittsburgh Maulers any more or less. And maybe I will because, like, I have nostalgia for it, right? I remember being a little kid and the Pittsburgh Maulers being a thing. But if you're under the age of 40, you don't have any nostalgia for the USFL and these names and logos.
No, you have nostalgia because here's why. Because generally locally owned places that are t-shirt shops probably printed up a shirt and you thought it was cool and you wore them.
Oh, I bought a Maulers shirt a couple months ago because it's the Maulers, right? And it is. It's nostalgia. I didn't buy it because I thought there was going to be a new Maulers
or
team.
Because Mike Rozier, you had an affinity for him, or an old story that Ron Cook told, or the DeBartolos, or Ed Bouchette told about going to the first game, or anything of the such. There's none of that. There's just this. I don't want to rain on their parade. I just don't. But how many of these things, I don't want to say are doomed to fail, but how many did fail before the people that start them realize they're a bad idea? It's like, I don't know. It's like, okay, we all walk down into that desert without a water bottle, and nobody came walking back out. I'm going to be the guy that goes down there, and I'm going to be the guy that walks back out. But a bunch of them walked down there, single file, year after year, and never walked back out. Where do you think they went? They probably died. But, okay, but I'm going to be the one that bucks the trend. Well, I don't know.
Good luck.
Maybe you should take some water with you. No, I'm good. I promise. I'm going to do it the same way.
Here's a question. I love the analogy.
But how are they different?
What's water for them? Like, to continue this analogy, what would give them
there
a chance of surviving?
None.
Like, there's got to be something, and it's why they keep doing it. It's why Danny Garcia and The Rock want to do the XFL, and Doug's going to be working for them, right? They think they've got something.
The NFL owns all the water.
So there's no water left.
No.
Not even a drop.
No, because here's why. Some think, well, it's guys like Johnny Manziel or castoffs that are big names. Not Johnny Manziel in that case, but people like that can't get in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick, employ him and people watch. They might watch one game or big name. This other league had coaches that coached in Super Bowls, right? Mike Martz or whatever.
Fossil, I think, coached one of the teams in the XFL.
People like that. Okay, it can be a springboard. They had that. The kid from Wilkinsburg that went to West Virginia, mm-hmm. Kenny Robinson, he did that.
He's back in the league and making plays now.
Right. Did that compel people to watch or keep it afloat? So the things that they told you it was going to do, in some regards, they did. But then they still all folded. So you follow what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying. I'm just wondering,
again, what is the design
there's
that
gotta
makes
be,
it solvent?
This is what sends people back into the desert. They believe there's water out there.
Well, and Roger Goodell just stands at the top of that hill with his arms crossed and goes, okay, we own all the water.
There's got to be a drop out there somewhere, right? We agree that spring football does not work.
I applaud the hell out of you for your efforts in trying to find it, but... And you're the one, too, when we talked about the XFL in the past. I remember the day we did it, you had an outline of all the positives that it could do.
It
and
could.
I just gave you those ones.
Yeah.
And they delivered on those. And they all still went under.
Right.
And the AAF. So you answer your own question for me.
Where's the water? I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't think it's in the spring, to answer your question. I don't think it's competing against the NFL, but if you go to the fall, you compete against the NFL, so you're screwed. So you try the spring, and again, you're dead by late March because the weather has turned at that point in much of the country, if not most of the country, and people don't want to sit inside and watch football.
Right, and the NFL already has a built-in minor league system, so it doesn't.
You know what the water is?
A free one.
You know where they need to go to get the water?
Europe.
And this has always been the plan. Well, that's an idea. But they need to go to the NFL and ask Roger Goodell for some of his water. And that's the plan with each and every one of these minor league spring football things.
Why would I pay you when I'm getting it free from Tuscaloosa and Gainesville and, you know, all these different places in Columbus, Ohio and Ann Arbor and State College?
So
why am I paying you when I get it free from
them? If the water is in the SEC then, to continue our analogy, do you start to try and poach kids if you're the XFL or the USFL or whatever, before they're draft eligible?
No, because now there's name, image, likeness, and they can make just as much. and get all the glory of a town like that and be the king of Auburn, Alabama?
I'm caving. I'm spelunking here. I'm trying to find the water.
It's a noble endeavor we just went on, but we can't find it. Twitter poll coming up next. Jeff Hathorn, top of the hour. Good morning. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, 8 o'clock. Shelby Cassesi, she joins the end of the 8 o'clock hour. Excited to talk to her. This hits different. She's got a great story again this week. All right, Twitter poll, come on.
Come on, everybody. Let's tweet.
Yeah.
Twitter it.
Tweets that are rocking.
It's time for the Fan Morning Show's Twitter poll.
Our daily Twitter poll. This from yesterday. Really interesting question. Vote whenever you get a chance at Fan Morning Show on all these polls. So who's the best team in the AFC right now? Chiefs, Ravens, Titans, or other? 62.5% of you say the Chiefs, who were left for dead after about a month in the season. 20.3% of you say other, mainly New England Patriots. A lot of people wrote in. 9.1% say the Titans, and 8.2% say the Baltimore Ravens. I voted for the Chiefs. I know a lot of people voted for the Patriots. I voted for the Chiefs, and that's right now. Right now, that's a team. Even though they only scored, 19 points or whatever the other day. That's who I voted for.
Yeah, I voted for New England just because I think they're getting it together at the right time. Mac Jones is probably only going to get better down the stretch, as is their defense. So as long as they stay healthy, especially on the defensive side, the classic, I don't want to catch them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Daily Twitter poll today, and this one is interesting to me. So I have jury duty summons for tomorrow. I have to call at 5 p.m. tonight and find out my fate. There are essentially three outcomes that can happen. Which will it be? I'm told when I make this phone call not to report, I'm good. I'm told to report, and I'll go down there on Grant Street tomorrow, but I will not be selected for a jury and told to go home. Or I'm told to report and then picked for a jury that I'll sit on.
I think you'll be told to report, but not selected.
You know, I was leaning toward that, but I went for told not to report.
Yeah.
I think it's between one of those two. I think the definite big underdog here that pays a lot if you're betting on this is report and picked for a jury.
Oh, yeah. That's plus 1,500 right now.
I'm the perfect juror. I really am. I listen. I'm attentive.
Take notes.
I do. I take notes. I'm not a dummy. I promise. And I'm fair and impartial. Honestly.
But impartial.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Impartial. So I'm all that.
Move to excuse juror number 342.
That may have been on purpose. So I don't know. But this, I am stressing now at this 5 o'clock phone call tonight that I have to make to this number. And then they tell you it's like a recorded thing.
So right at 5?
I'll give it to 503 so yeah. I don't have to do it a couple times. And then they'll tell you, all right, jurors with the last name, this or this. Or I don't know. I have to go look at the paper again. Maybe I can go to the internet and click on it and see what it is. Now, if I am told to report. See, here's the thing. If I'm told to report, I'm going to get the shakes like what happened to Ron Cook. Ron Cook was on a grand jury and had to report for 2 days at a time for 4 months. And he would do it every couple weeks or every 3 weeks for 2 days for 4 months.
That I would not be a fan of.
I can't have that. I'm here for my civic duty. I just can't have that. Matt, what is your thought on all of this?
I think this is all going to blow over. You're not even going to report.
You think I'm going to call today?
Yeah, I'm just going to be like, yep, forget it.
Now, and we've been over this. My civic duty, I am absolutely fine with. And actually, if I were to pick an option, I don't want to put anybody out at work, but report and not be selected but see the process.
That's the best case scenario.
Yes, I'm intrigued by it all.
And I'll be honest, for our sake, it would shake things up a little bit, but it would, I think, work better. Like, if you get called to jury duty, right, and they want you to serve, I think it works better if it's just like a trial. It's not a grand jury thing where you're in and out for like Ron was for 6 months, right?
Because that throws okay.
Yes.
It throws everybody's schedule into an uproar for a long time.
I just want a one-day trial.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, in there, watch the whole thing. 1 or 2 days max, right? Because I don't know how many one-day trials there are.
Nothing violent. Give me a white-collar guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a murder. Those wouldn't be one days.
No.
I don't need a violent crime. Give me a guy that decided he wanted to embezzle. I can do that.
Or like a really juicy issue, but then like they decide to settle after the first day.
I'm okay with that. 25%. Yeah, I can. I'm all right with all of that. I'm okay with that. I don't need to be in the middle of some Medellin to Pittsburgh drug ring where someone's knocking on my door.
No.
But I'll tell you this.
Ticking packages showing up at the front door.
If I get in the middle of something where there's an opportunity to write a tell-all book for gazillions of dollars as a juror, I'll see you guys never. That's for sure. Like, if I can one-off this into something big.
Well, then you should be rooting for the juicy. The juicy.
I'm willing to withstand months of jury in order to, on the other side, hold that big check like I'm at the Rivers and I just pulled the slot for a gazillion dollars. I'd do that. Simon and Schuster or whatever. Come on. Like, I'm here for it.
As you should.
I love America. I'll cash out on it if I can. Anyhow, Jeff Hathorn, top of the hour.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I wonder if Ron, you know what? He's a great person in that he would not budge in what that was. To this day, I don't think he's told anybody that
I'm okay moment was.
No, what that grand jury
was. Oh, what the grand jury was.
What it could have been a drug ring. It could have been
he's
indicted for murder. It could have been. But it was something big.
Ron, if nothing else, Ron keeps secrets.
Oh, does he ever? Absolutely. You couldn't pry it from him. He would not, because I heard a couple people asking him in the office. I was a little bit away, and I was within an earshot, and he was like, I can't tell you. Can't tell you. It's part of the duty. I was like, whoa, okay. All right, this guy. So, anyhow.
I'm okay.
How many times are you going to play that?
As many as it.
I'm okay.
I'm just going to keep going now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.